Senate will please come to order. And the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson? Bates? Bates? Beyer? Beyer? Boquist? Boquist? Burdick? Burdick? Devlin? Devlin? Dingfelder? Dingfelder? Edwards? Edwards? Ferrioli? Ferrioli? George? George? Gerard? Haas? Haas? Johnson? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Przanski? Przanski? Rosenbaum? Rosenbaum? Shields? Shields? Starr? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Thompson? Berger? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? President Courtney?
A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Lori Montes Anderson will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Today's invocation, Rabbi Perlstein, the director of the Chabad Jewish Center here in Salem.
Yesterday we celebrated Tu B'Shvat, 15th day of Shvat, which on the Hebrew calendar celebrates the new year of the trees. In Deuteronomy, man is compared to a tree in the field. There are many things we can learn from a tree. A tree is made up of roots, a trunk, and bears fruit. Nurture the roots, then the trunk will be a healthy one, which can eventually produce delicious fruit. The root of a tree are compared to the faith that guides us as individuals. Nurture that faith, make it the foundation that you build your trunk on. When your trunk will be strong, then your trunk will be a strong one, which can bear delicious fruit. God in heaven, master of this world, we pray that our faith always play a role in guiding us through these troubled and trying times. May you grant faith, wisdom, and compassion to the distinguished and elected officials who convene in this room, to guide them as they enact laws built on their foundation of faith, which will most definitely produce delicious fruit for their constituents. May God bestow upon us peace, good health, good fellowship, and prosperity for all, and let us say, Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi Perlstein, for your invocation, and thank you, Senator Lori Montes Anderson, for leading us in Pledge of Allegiance. Senator Ted Fraioli.
Under courtesies, Mr. President?
Yes, please.
Mr. President, I would like to request that courtesies be extended to Mr. Ron Verini, who is a member of Veterans Advocates of OR-IDA, which are the advocates who stand up for veterans' rights and access to services in both Oregon and Idaho. Mr. Verini is with us in the gallery today, and please, Mr. President, courtesies of the Senate.
Thank you, Senator Fraioli. Ron, we're very pleased you could be here today, Mr. Verini, representing the veterans, advocating for the veterans, Oregon and Idaho. I think Oregon cares very deeply about veterans, and I think she shows it in a very bipartisan way, day in, day out. But just having a person with your background, what you're doing with your life, to come to here and to be in our gallery and to stand up and look over us is a high honor indeed. So thank you very much for coming here today. We hope you have a good time, and we hope you'll come back and stay as long as you want. You are welcome, most welcome. And thank you, Senator Fraioli, for that. Appreciate that. By the way, I got a look from the Secretary of Senate, which means I didn't announce courtesies of the Senate before I recognized Senator Fraioli. So now we are officially under this courtesies of the Senate. Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I have another PSU person at my desk with me today, and I'd like to extend courtesies to David Fortney, who's also doing an internship in my office. David recently worked as a program coordinator for the 10-year budgeting plan for the Oregon Project with the Department of Administrative Services, which is a statewide reinvestment plan, as you are all aware. He completed a master's in public administration with a focus on natural resource policy at Portland State in December of 2010. And prior experience in government includes working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, local special districts, including the West Multnomah Soil, Water, and Conservation Districts. He has a passion for public service, which we're really glad to have him here in our office. And he began work as an AmeriCorps Vista worker in 2004, working with the Oregon Food Bank Network. And many of you know that I'm involved with the Hunger Relief Task Force, so a lot of overlap, and it's really an honor and a pleasure to have David working in my office. I'd like to extend courtesies of the Senate. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, David. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here on the floor. As you know, you're sitting next to an individual who is pursuing a PhD in public policy or public administration. I don't know which, at Portland State. Of course, you both have master's degrees, so I guess that you would be following in the good senator's footstep as well, and I'm getting the nod, so that means you will soon enroll with her, and you will both get your PhDs probably together, and so you'll both be doctors. So, David, thank you, doctor, ahead of time. Recognize Senator Chuck Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please extend courtesies for a constituent of mine, Jeff Kopecky. Jeff is a CRNA, which is a certified registered nurse I don't know why all my constituents have the toughest jobs. Yeah. Anesthetist.
Just let it go.
Okay. CRNAs are anesthesia specialists who administer anesthesia for surgical, obstetrical, and other procedures. While CRNAs work...
Senator Bates, I may have to call on you. He's not doing well here using medical terms.
No, these are tough. These are tough
words.
Please
proceed,
Mr. President. While they work in both urban and rural areas, CRNAs provide over the majority of the anesthesia services in rural Oregon. He is joined by some of his colleagues up in the gallery today, sir, and please extend courtesies. Thank you.
Well, Jeff, thank you for coming and having to put up with that. I appreciate it very much. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here. And also to all, thank you. Thank you for sitting in our gallery. We're pleased you're here. I'm not going to tell you, Jeff, one of the things the senator said about my physical health, but it deeply hurt me. And so later on, I would like to talk to you about that, because I'm healthy, but he made fun of me. But I'm pleased you're here. I'm glad you're a nurse. I love nurses. I love female nurses, but male nurses, but I do love nurses. So I'm glad you're here, and I hope you have a good day. It's an honor to have you here. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would ask that you extend courtesies to the party that's at my desk. I am probably very clear that you can recognize the family resemblance between the two of us. This is Renee Devlin, my daughter, worked for a few days each week during the regular session and is now back for a few days now. Like many people in Oregon, she used to be working in the real estate industry. She's not working in that industry now, like many people in Oregon. But she actually is responsible for my four grandchildren. I have one granddaughter and three grandsons, so perhaps we'll bring those by. But if you'd please extend courtesies to my daughter, Renee Devlin.
Renee, I'm always glad to see you. I feel better when you're in the building. I really do, and you know why. I just wish you'd be here all the time. So really, I'm always happy you're here, and bring your children by any time you want. Come by any time, day or night, because you'll find your father's here that many times. He's here 24/7. So I hope you're having a good day, and you always light me up when I see you for reasons that we've talked about. So thank you very much for being here. Have a good day. We're now on our remonstrances. The messages from the governor.
To the Honorable President of the Senate at the 76th Legislative Assembly, attached is a list of governor's appointments to state boards and commissions subject to Senate confirmation in the manner provided by RRS 171562 and RRS 171565. These appointments and reappointments are submitted for your consideration and will be effective upon Senate confirmation. Sincerely, John A. Kitzhaber, Governor. Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, Lee Bates and Judith Brezentine.
The governor's executive appointments are transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the co-speakers to inform you the House has passed House Bill 4011, 4029, and 4064.
The reports from committees. The court's SR 8.551 committee report summaries number 6 and 7 were distributed to the members February 8th, and number 8 and 9 were distributed today. This information will be recorded in the journal and the status report, and it is so ordered. Propositions and motions. Action on executive appointments that require the Senate confirmation. Introduction in the first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 207 in memoriam Gail Louise Achterman, 1849-2012. Senate Memorial 201, urging Congress to enact President to sign Trade Reform Accountability Development and Employment Trade Act of 2009. Senate Bill 1531, relating to connection to federal tax law, prescribing effective date. Senate Bill 1535, relating to use of mass reform instruments, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1537, relating to abandoned burial spaces, and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1565, relating to dispensing of drugs, declaring emergency.
These will be passed to the calendar. We're now under the third reading of Senate measures. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 1507, relating to HIV testing and declaring an emergency.
I will now recognize Senator Alan Bates, please.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, before I speak to the bill, I want to speak to you about the process of consent and informed consent, so you have a clear understanding of the process we go through with consent and informed consent, and that allows you to understand this bill better. When you enter a doctor's office or a hospital, you sign a whole bunch of papers, and sometimes it's like signing your mortgage papers. You're not sure what you're signing sometimes. Hopefully you're not signing your life away here. But for the most part, what you're signing is papers about your insurance and papers about who you are and where you live. But one of those forms you sign is something called a consent form. That consent form allows the physician, nurse practitioner, the hospital to treat you for certain routine things that are pretty broad, certain blood tests, CBCs, chemistries, and various other things that you need to have done. If we didn't have that kind of a consent form in place, we'd have to have you sign a consent for every little thing we were doing in your treatment process, and we would never get anything done. So there's a general consent form that you sign when you go to a doctor or a hospital. There is a different consent form, however, when you're talking about something that's more significant. That usually is a surgery, and the physician or a hospital representative will walk you through the pros and cons of that intervention, the risks of having that surgery, the value of having that surgery, or the risk or values of having be treated for a cancer, as an example, with radiation or with chemotherapy, things that have real risk to them. That's the normal process we have. One is called consent, and one is informed consent. Now, that informed consent, as I just said, is a much more important process, one that takes more time, one that has to be considered by the patient and the practitioner together. HIV testing, 20 years ago, carried with it a social stigma, a very serious social stigma. It was also a disease at that time that, for the most part, was untreatable and was a death sentence. At that time, because of the social stigma, we required a form of informed consent for that blood test. That was the only blood test that we required informed consent for. People could make a decision if they wanted to be tested or not. They were protected in very careful ways, so their name was not associated with that test. They were usually given a number for it. All kinds of things were done to protect those people from the stigma of having an HIV test, whether it was positive or negative. We have moved forward as a society now. That stigma, for the most part, I believe, is gone. Being tested for HIV no longer carries a social stigma. We know HIV is a disease that can affect us all, can touch us all, and every one of us is at some risk of contracting that, in a very limited way, but contracting that. I'm especially concerned about unborn children. A mother may be carrying the HIV virus and not know it. And if we test her and find out she has it, we can treat her with medications that keeps it from being transmitted to that child. That child isn't born with HIV. We need to make a change in this consent form. The proponents of this bill are saying that the HIV consent should now go into the general consent and no longer be informed consent, and I strongly agree with that position. We need to be able to generally test people for this and let them know if they're HIV positive so we can save their child, their life, and potentially, if they're pregnant, the life of their child. Many people don't even know they have this disease, and if they don't know, we can't treat them, obviously. So what we're asking for here is that we change the law in Oregon, as it's been done in many other states, to move HIV testing from informed consent to the general consent. It's a very simple thing to do, but it's important. It'll save lives. And I'd like to point out that the people who want this the most are those people who have HIV, who are at risk of having HIV. They have brought this forward along with others in the healthcare professions who think this is long overdue. It's time for our laws to catch up with our society and our culture and move us forward in this area. I would urge an aye vote.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill. Colleagues, it hasn't been that many years ago we were having a similar discussion with hepatitis C. And I would suggest, colleagues, that in both cases we're talking about a chronic, treatable, communicable disease. And without this sort of measure, our ability to control the spread of such diseases doesn't really exist. I agree with Senator Bates. It's time we got past the stigma and started treating HIV as what it really is, and that is just another of a list of chronic treatable diseases. And this moves us in that direction and helps remove the stigma that shouldn't be there, because people that are positive for HIV shouldn't feel any more embarrassed than anybody else with a chronic disease. They need treatment, and we need to do things to control the spread. This is a good measure. It's common sense. I urge an aye vote.
Recognize Senator Steiner Hayward, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, to the bill. You've heard many of the arguments from Senator Bates and Senator Cruz, and I completely agree with everything they've said. I would just like to add that I am extraordinarily impressed by our residents who brought this. In 2005, it was two residents who brought the bill that made it allowable to test pregnant women as part of their routine prenatal care for HIV without a separate informed consent. And that did a lot toward reducing maternal child transmission of HIV in Oregon. This bill will go far toward advancing that. And I'm grateful to our newest physicians for having the foresight and the persistence to bring this to our attention. And I'd just like to thank them. And again, as Senator Cruz and Senator Bates said, strongly urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Bates, do you wish to close? The question now rises upon a third reading and the final passage of Senate Bill 1507. Those of the opinion bills will pass to say aye as their names are called. And those opposed, no. Would the clerk please call the rolls?
Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Prezansky? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1507, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 4011, relating to proof of treatment for substance abuse, declaring emergency. House Bill 4029, relating to relocation and transportation funding. House Bill 4064, relating to communication between state agencies regarding members of uniformed services and prescribing effective date.
These are transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. The third reading of House measures. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 6, was distributed to members February 9th. The referrals will be recorded in the Journal and the State's report. It is so ordered. We're now under announcements. Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats will caucus at noon. Please get your lunch and be on time at noon.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
You're going to do Senate Republicans, and I was going to do Senate Democrats. No, tomorrow.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. Senate Republicans will caucus today at noon. Please get your lunches and come immediately to the caucus room. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Are there further announcements? We will be on the floor tomorrow, Friday. We will take up at least 6 measures, third reading. If there is no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow, Friday, February 10th. The Senate is now adjourned.